Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Certainly, we are continuing with our study of God's Word. Welcome to the second and final installment in our Scripture Spotlight, the Voice of Prophecy segment, Satan's War Against the Church. That's lesson 26 of the New Millennium series, and we are wrapping it up with Pastor Babazani Pambana. Now, in Revelation chapter 12, the Apostle John describes a staggering scene, a cosmic clash where Michael and his angels cast out the dragon, who deceived the whole world, says the Bible, and he's cast out along with his angels. Now, Jesus wins the victory by something far more powerful than the sword, and we're going to be having a chat about that with our pastor who joins us now on the line. Muruti, good morning to you, and welcome to AWR.
Good morning. Thank you so much. We thank God for this opportunity once again. Amen. I hope I am audible. Yes.
Thank you, Muruti. No, you're loud and clear, and thank you so much for taking the time to share with us once again.
Thank you so much.
But it's hard to imagine war in heaven. I mean, heaven is the most peaceful, the most tranquil of places. At least that's what we've been made to believe. What picture is given of this scene? A war was found in heaven, and Michael fought and the dragon fought. Talk to us about, hey, what is happening here?
Well, each time we speak of war, the very first picture that comes to mind is a picture of grenades, bazookas, guns, bullets blazing, and all that stuff. But here in heaven, we have a different kind of war, a war that then brings the war of guns to play. The war of guns actually comes as a result of the war that broke out in heaven. So this war now, I would briefly describe it as the war of control, the war of power, power in control, authority over creation. Who is the creator and who is the creature? You know, the creature turns against the creator simply because the creature feels like he is now greater than the creator. He is failing to understand who the creator is between them. Now, we are now on the same page, and we're now clear of the very fact that Michael signifies Christ. In fact, Michael does not only signify Christ, but Michael is Christ himself. So if we read from Jude 9, there was a contention with the devil between Michael and the devil. And it was over the body of Moses. But anyways, it's a story for another time. And then we are told of Michael who stands to fight for his children, for his people, when it gets worse on their side, he stands up for them. He fights for them. And this is the Michael we are talking about. This is the archangel we are talking about. So now, this war went on and on and on from the time when we were not yet there.
Okay.
And it continued throughout the whole time period, even when when Jesus was born on this earth. The dragon tried to destroy him. You remember when he was using Herod to try and destroy the baby Jesus.
Yes.
And then in the same manner as God hid his church in the wilderness, according to Revelation 12, in the same manner, in that very same manner, God hid his child in Egypt away from Herod. And it so happened, even in Matthew chapter, that was Matthew chapter 2, chapter 4, we have got the temptations. When the devil was busy trying to win control over Jesus, but Jesus overcame. And this is the war we are talking about. And the same war is going on even in our hearts, within our hearts today. When you get to a point whereby you have to make a very hard decision. Should I do this or not? Is it right or wrong? What is the thin dichotomizing line between the right and the wrong? What should I do? That is the war that is going on. And it got physical when Satan thought he had defeated Christ at the cross by nailing him to the cross. But we praise God because even at the... by the cross, through the cross, that was Christ overcoming.
Yes.
That was Christ proving to all creation that I am the creature and I am the creation and I love all my. I am the creator and I love all my creation to the extent of dying for them. In fact, he wasn't killed but he died on the cross. It's a story for another day. So he overcame.
I love that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't killed, but he gave his own life. I mean, that's what he tells Pilate, right? You can't take my life. I give it bound myself. And I want us to talk about that, Muruti, especially in yesterday's lesson. We did mention that when the dragon, which is Satan, tried to attack the man-child escaped and was taken up to heaven. Now, Satan is still busy, like you did say, the great controversy still rages. Who are his attacks directed at now?
If there are people, I will say this again, I will repeat this again and again. If there is a people that the devil hates the most, it is the people that love the one whom he could not defeat. We all know that as men in a fight, if you cannot defeat a man, then you go for that which he loves more dearly, which he loves the most. You attack that. That's how you can only get to him. If you cannot get to him, you get to him through that which he loves. And we all know that if there's anything that Christ loves the most, it is his church. Yeah. And by the church, I'm talking about all those whom he called out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Okay.
All those about whom he says, upon this rock, not Peter, by the way, but upon himself as the rock. Peter is Petros, and the rock is Petra. Upon him, that is Christ, our church found its foundation. And he's talking about those people, those whom he referred to as, I am going to build my church. And these people are under all the attacks of the devil. Now, Satan failed to defeat Christ, and then he sensed anew that both God and time were against him. He could not defeat them. Now, you know, even John says to us, woe unto you, O earth, because the devil is raging. He is furious because he knows that even his time is short. So for some, something like 4,000 years ago, some 4,000 years of battle against its inhabitants lay behind him. Like he has been there for a very long time. Now he has been fighting us. He has been fighting this war for over 4,000 years, let me say. Mm. So now he is busy. He has been busy. He is busy, and he still is busy. We can tell from all the persecution that even the followers of Jesus went through. The apostles also drank of the cup of sacrifice in martyrdom, as Jesus had predicted himself. He had told them, you know, Satan used kingdoms to fight these people, have them arrested, have them persecuted, have them killed. We have all this evidence from the Bible, even from Earth's history. We have all this evidence. People have been persecuted. Even now, it's not easy to be a pure follower of Christ. Mm. Yes.
Yeah, Satan is still busy at work. And in fact, the lesson goes to explain a trial period, apparently soon after this activity where Christ is taken up, apparently in this raging fury of the dragon of Satan. He puts the church through a trial period. Talk to us a bit about what that period is like and what was the trial all about.
Well, I'm sure we have learned or at least managed to pick it from the earlier lessons that a day stands for a year.
Yes.
So where we are being told by the prophetic word that for 1,260 days, these are 1,260 literal years. And you will find out that these years are there in history. They are there in history. Right now we are in AD 2026. This is AD 2026, right? Let us not forget to say that if we are saying 2026, it's still the same time continuing from those AD years. So it's AD 2026. So from AD 538 to AD 1798, Rome was the high-ranking power. It was the power of the time, the authority of the time. And saints were persecuted by that time. And during this time period, which is exactly 1,260 years, as was prophesied in Revelation chapter 12. to prove that history, the Bible and the history go hand in glove. They are supporting each other. They support each other. Saints were killed. Saints were persecuted. And that's when we get people like those whom we call the wildernesses, those who were being persecuted in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And they were being persecuted, and God hid them in the wilderness. You know, so you will realize that no matter how much the devil tries to destroy this church, no matter how much the devil tries to destroy the children of God, remember, yeah. I said, by church, I do not mean the Methodist church. I'm not talking about the Roman Catholic church. I'm not talking about the Pentecostal church. I'm not talking about the Seventh-day Adventist church. I'm talking about those people who were called by Christ, those people who follow Jesus Christ day and night in all and with all faithfulness, holding on to the testimony of Jesus Christ and keeping not one out of nine, out of ten, not nine out of ten, but all the ten commandments of God, the greatest of which being love. And these people were persecuted, and even up to now we are still being persecuted. But I just meant to say that the 1260 days are 1260 years, spanning from 538 to 1798 AD. We will find these in all the books of history.
No, thank you so much for that, Muruti, and I think they make it very clear.
Yes.
I want us to, maybe as we draw towards the close, to highlight some of the challenges, the conflict matters that exist between the dragon and especially the remnant of the woman, since she was taken away and given a space of safety. Talk to us about those things that we should actually, even in today's day, we should still be wary about, because like you're saying, he is still very much at war.
Yeah, so the conflict comes this way. Thank you so much for bringing that one up. So according to verse 17 of chapter 12, the Bible tells us that the dragon was enraged with the woman. He was enraged with her, and being enraged with the woman, he goes on to make war with the rest of her offspring, not all her offspring. I'll come back again. Remember, said by the church, I'm not talking about one denomination. I'm talking about all those who worship God. Yes. So now, us being a church again, within the church, there is that church that is within the church, the rest of her offspring, the remnant of her offspring, not all, but the remnant who do what? Who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm sure we can talk about this some other time, the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ when we find time. So now, let us pause at this moment and summarize these things by maybe looking at these simple six or seven simple statements. Now, Satan persecuted Christ through pagan Rome. Remember that. It is recorded in the New Testament in the four Gospels. And then he went on to persecute the early church through pagan Rome. And then next, he persecuted the church for 1,260 years, again, through Papal Rome. These are all Roman governments. There is pagan Rome, there is Papal Rome now. So
side.
Now Rome has graduated from paganism to papalism. That's how we are moving. So finally, he also went on to make war with the rest of her offspring. And then the rest of her offspring, of the church's offspring, is the last church in these very last days. Those who will today, when times are this tough, they will always keep the commandments of God. They will always hold on to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even when it means hardships to do so. And then God's remnant, or the last church, may be identified now by the three characteristics indicated in Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Remember, we spoke of keeping the commandments of God and having the testimony of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, being the church as it is. But I also want to highlight this very important thing, that the saints, if there are any saints I'm talking to this morning, let them know this, that we should never be afraid. We should never draw back. We should never retaliate. We press onwards ever and upwards ever. We are fighting on till the very end. And we have been given the assurance in God's scripture that we have overcome. We are not fighting for victory, but we are fighting from victory to victory. Because Christ already overcame for us. He made this very bold statement to say that my church against this church, the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Never, ever. And then that's First John chapter 4, verse 4. The apostle John then says, you should not be afraid, little children. I paraphrase.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid, you little children. You belong to God. And because you belong to God, you have overcome the world and those in the world.
Yeah, no, thank you so much, goodness. Thank you so much.
Yes.
No, we appreciate the beautiful lesson, Pastor, that you've given us and helped to explain some of these matters. I want us to just wrap up, Muruti, with a question that perhaps someone joining us might be wondering about. And seldom you hear people speak from themes such as the ones we've been covering in this lesson. In fact, sometimes you find churches that discourage their members from reading the book of Revelations or wondering and wanting to find out more about what it's teaching. And maybe let's emphasize on why these lessons are important. Why do we need to understand this and why people run away from it?
Okay. Let me begin by saying it is very important to remember, number one, that we are at war. So, in fact, you cannot remember unless and until you come to a knowledge and acknowledgement of the very fact that we are at war. And that is point number one, why these lessons are very important for us in this day and age. People have to know that we are at war. And then number two, us being at war, we have to know and always remember that we have an enemy. The devil is not our friend. He's not our frenemy either. He is our enemy, purely our, he hates us.
Yeah.
That dude has never loved us. He has always hated us with pure hatred and rage. And it is clearly highlighted and it is clearly emphasized in these lessons, which is why these lessons are very important for us. And number three, for you to win the war, you have to understand how powerful or how weak or how angry or how enraged your enemy is. And at the same time, you also need to understand and know and always remember how powerful your commander is.
Yeah.
And how experienced your commander is.
Amen.
How many battles your commander has won in history. And that's how you will find the courage to keep fighting on and on and on till we get to the end. And this is why these lessons are very important for us. I know that people have always looked at these two books, the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, and those hard to crack books. But these books are gospels. How do I put this? Are gospels for our time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is history written before we got to live it. And we have to understand these things. We have to love these things and keep on learning these things. May as God helps us, and may God be with each and every one of us as we try to understand these things. Trust me, brethren, when I say that the devil is fighting. Remember, my brother, yesterday we could not go through the whole lesson simply because the foe was fighting against us. But today, we are here because our commander is very powerful. May God be with us in all the battles that we are encountering in our lives, whatever it may be, financial battles, spiritual battles, physical battles, but whatever battles, social battles, in marriages, wherever it may be, may the Lord make his presence felt and known in our lives.
Yes. Yes, no, certainly, indeed. And thank you so much for that encouragement, Burit. And I pray that we take these matters to heart to say we will not only want what sounds nice and popular, we will want what God wants to give us. And that's what we want to receive.
Amen.
Thank you once again. Until we shall again next time, Muruti, God Amen. Bless you and may he continue to enlarge your territory.
Thank you so much, Mudima Kusukufat.
Amen. Amen. Same to you, Muruti. Same to you.
Thank you.
Right. Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.